Today on episode number 471 of the Church Solutions Podcast, we speak with a genuine expert on helping churches use social media. His name is Brady Shear. If you don't follow him on social media, you really should. And he's got a great offer for helping churches with their websites. So stay with us next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacey and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, everybody, to the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacey.
Steve, how are you today on this beautiful day in Tucson, Arizona?
Doing good.
Yeah. Are you riding your bikes in the mornings now, your bicycle?
Only not this morning, because, I've become pampered. You know, I like to get out there when it's in the high 60s and I don't like the cold. So, and I have the liberty most of the time to kind of schedule when I'm going to do my bike ride, but didn't work out for today. Got too much going on. So it's going to be my temp probably around, probably about now. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. About 72 degrees or so. Oh, it's 68 out.
Yeah. 68. Yeah. That's it. So I'm going to bail right now and go get on the bike.
Yeah. Go ahead. We have a guest today. He probably uses Celsius for his temperatures, but we'll get into that. That's a very important question to ask him. All right. Let's yak here just very quickly, a little advertisement. We have a new webinar coming up. It's May 20th. And it's featuring Jason Moore. And Jason Moore is an author. He's a speaker. He's a seasoned expert when it comes to technology and ministry. And the name of the webinar is?
We don't know yet, right?
That's a trick question.
Okay.
Because I'll take the blame for this. There was a little bit of confusion on Jason being our guest. And we're going to clear that up completely later today. But my bet is, now I'm not a betting man, but my bet is that it's going to be something like AI and the Church, a clear guide for the curious and the courageous. That's my bet. So you know why that is? That's his latest book. So, all right. So that's coming up May 20th. If you want to sign up for that, you can't because we goofed it up. I goofed it up. But you can always go later to
webinar.
I take full responsibility for this debacle. And, you know, if you ever want to check out some of our past webinars, just go to streamingchurch.tv/webinar. And we have other stuff on there as well, features and like blogs and all that stuff. Okay, enough of this nonsense. Today's guest is the founder of Pro Church Tools and Nucleus Church. And that's a company that creates church websites. He is a digital media strategist, and his work focuses on helping churches navigate the digital space. He lives in Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada. We had somebody on from Canada just the other day. We're doing our best to smooth the relations between the USA and Canada. Our podcast is doing what we can. But he has a wife and two daughters. Please welcome Brady Shear to the Church Solutions Podcast. Brady, how are you today?
Doing great. Bill, thanks for the kind invitation. Great to be with you and Steve today.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you here. I think what we may go with here is five social media myths. We might want to talk a little bit about that. But before we get into that, I'm going to jump here and there and ask you a couple of questions, and Steve will ask you questions, and then we'll go back and forth. You founded Pro Church Tools. How long has it been? It's been like over 10 years, right?
Yeah, the company incorporated 2014, so we'll celebrate 11 years at the end of May. And before it was incorporated, it was a couple of years of just ProChurchTools.com, a blog. So informally, you know, coming up on 15 years now.
Wow, that's great. And you started that when you were what, 12?
Yeah, pretty much. I was a junior in Bible college. 2014, I was 23. So I started, 21 years old. And that's where the Pro Church Tools name comes from. You fumbled it a bit off the top because it's frankly a terrible name. And I got it from my best man who basically said, hey, you're like learning about digital media. You should like publish it on a blog. And this was pre-AI, obviously, but now come to think of it, he sent me like a list of like 20 different names that were just like three word combos of like tech and ministry in different permutations. And I was like, Pro Church Tools, grab the domain. It's available.
Well, there you go. So for those of us, for those people that may be listening, what is Pro Church Tools?
Very quickly. I mean, at this point, it's we help churches navigate the biggest communication shift in 500 years. So I think the common through line throughout our business's history has been content creation. So we started a YouTube channel in, 2013, I think, as well. Blog, podcast. I was a media director at a church and I was learning these things, early 2010s. And I was like, hey, if I can learn these things, others can as well. So I'm, creating content on social media, comms, design, branding, all of that. And, from there, we kind of built a business on top of that. But from the very beginning, it was kind of just, content marketing and creating resources to help people that serve in church navigate this huge shift.
So how does, one of my main questions is, how do you become a digital media expert? I mean, you can't really go to school, right? Or can you go to school? Or how do you obtain the skill set to be able to teach other people to do it?
Well, I went to school to be a youth pastor, and I have my degree in theology and youth ministry. But kind of after my first internship, I realized, I don't think I have the relational bandwidth to be a pastor. I loved the work, and I've only ever wanted to work with churches. But I saw up close, the amount of time and energy required to serve these students well. And I was like, I don't think I can do this sustainably without either my family life, my work life, or my personal life becoming compromised in some way. All I wanted to do though was work with churches. So my second year internship, I was this media director at a new church plant, and they put a camera in my hands and were like, hey, so we don't have much and you're in school, so just go for it. And I'm kind of learning things on the fly. And that I felt was the lane that I was meant to run in. I loved creativity. And now there was this intersection between that and ministry. So I got to serve churches, which is all I ever wanted, but also in this creative space, which I quickly developed some affinity for. So then I go back to my Bible college and I'm looking at my friends who are going to be youth pastors. And I'm like, man, senior pastor is going to walk up to them and say, can you start a Facebook page for our church in 2011? And so I'm like, if I'm learning these skills, as I mentioned, others can too. And so how do you become qualified for this? I don't know. I always think of it as being a practitioner rather than an expert, because even today, 10, 15 years later, this world is still changing so quickly and continuously. And so it basically comes down to being in the trenches and doing the work for churches, for your own church, and then reporting back on what you're learning as you go through that.
What do you think are the biggest challenges that are facing churches today in this whole area of digital communications and digital ministry?
Well, surely there are innumerable. Churches don't have the same resources as businesses, obviously, is going to be one that's first and foremost. But I also like to highlight just how amazing of a time that we're serving in right now. On the social media front, when I speak with ministries, I always talk about what we call the church advantage. And that is senior leaders in the process, the rhythm of church, creating messages every single week that can be repurposed into social media content. If you contrast that with a dentist, real estate agent, lawyer, they have to sign contracts, sell homes, clean teeth, and then think about the online world beyond that. And what we have in ministry is senior leadership spending considerable hours every week creating content. So the first part, the hardest part of the job for publishing on social and online is done for us. And so leaning into those strengths is great. I think another challenge would be the time that it takes and the fact that usually you don't have a dedicated person to this. And so the solution there becomes, okay, what is kind of the biggest bang for buck, if we can call it that? What's the best ROI? If I have, 3 hours, 5 hours a week, whatever it might be to dedicate to this, what can I do that will fulfill the mission of the church, which is at the end of the day, all we want to do. And the reason I care about digital platforms at all is just because of the vast amount of attention that's being paid there by culture and by all the people that our church cares to reach. And so if that's where the attention is, how can we take the wisdom of scripture? We always say it's for all people, for all time, and package that in a way that's relatable for folks and then introduces our church to them and welcomes them to take a next step towards us and towards Christ.
And you've got a bunch of stories from churches you've been working with over the years. And don't feel shy about tooting your own horn. Kind of give us what's been your experience working with some of the churches. Where were they when they came to you, and where are they now? That kind of thing. Just kind of walk us through what it's like to be on the other to receive your services.
Okay, so this one came in yesterday at 10:30 a.m. So I got a DM from this pastor, and I'm looking at it right now. He says, "Okay, it finally happened. 3 years into consistently posting content online, I'm getting coffee this morning when the barista says, hey, I saw you on my Facebook yesterday. Are you a preacher? I got to share a little bit about our church." And he goes on a couple paragraphs after that. One of the cool things about the era of social media that we're in right now, we call it the discovery era, is that most of what we see on our feeds is not from people that we choose to follow. It's based on our viewing habits, our personal interests, and our geographic location. And so what I always say to churches is what's amazing about this current era of social compared to the previous is that when you create content that is relevant and reaches broadly, people that are physically close to your church will see it. And this is a great example of the Starbucks barista, presumably Starbucks, I guess they didn't say that, the barista that had recognized this pastor, probably seen them a few times on their feed enough to in real life say, oh, wait a minute, I recognize this guy. Are you a pastor? And like, I think what I told this pastor in response was like, you've just been like consistent, because really all it takes is one video on social. But the reality is the most important, what we say singular non-negotiable of social media is no weeks off. You don't have to post every day, but showing up every single week. Another story that comes to mind that's a bit more dramatic was from this small Aussie church. And this pastor was a little bit like uncomfortable at first with posting his sermons online because he didn't want to make it feel like it was all about him. And so what I told him was, I said, you know, the principle of congruency is what we care about. So if you look at your in-person programming, what do you see? Biggest chunk of the pie every week is you on stage. So it would be strange if we didn't also see you on the proverbial stage on social. Doesn't have to be everything, but if that was absent, it'd be a bit conspicuous. If anything, you're being incongruent there. Why do it in person, but not online? So he's like, okay, fine, I'll do it. So he stays consistent for a few months, and this happened a bit faster for him. And he had one of his sermon reels go like very viral. We have a term called viral for me, which is like X, your typical post. This was viral for anybody. It was, you know, a million plus views. And he said to me a year later, I follow up with him. I think he followed up with me. And he said, you know, at first I was like, great, like we're reaching people like in America or something. I don't know. It doesn't help us. He said, the number of people that have come to my church since that post and have come up to me and said, I just thought you were some big American preacher until I recognized your accent. I click on your profile and I'm like, oh, this pastor's like, you know, within driving distance. So people are coming and sticking around and are now like fully integrated members of our church family. And yes, that took a little bit of like effort, I suppose, to like translate the sermon and then publish it. But like the sermon was already being preached and the distribution on social was 100% free. And that's what I mean when I say like just a miraculous time to be serving. Yeah.
It sounds like you're covering a couple of the myths that that churches misunderstand about social. I don't know if you had intended that, but I you know, before we got online, I went through and went through your five myths and you covered a couple of them. One of them was being consistent. You were talking about, you know, I want to get, one of the myths out there is I've got to get my sermon posted before the next weekend so that people are watching the right sermon is one of the myths out there. And how do you answer that?
Well, getting back to that most important part of social, no weeks off. The value of being on social is not about how quickly, you know, you're publishing since Sunday. It's about how sustainably you can stay consistent. And the cool thing about social now is like in the previous era, the lifespan of a post was maybe 24 to 48 hours because really only your followers were going to see what you created. Nowadays, social is a lot closer to the way search engines have been for the past decade, where if you create something that resonates with folks, people are going to be seeing it for the first time weeks, even months after it was first published. So what that means is when we're repackaging and republishing content from our sermon on social, it's imperative that we don't like create mini recaps of the message, but instead, as we review the sermon, mine moments that can stand alone as messages just themselves. What that means then is that there's no urgency for us to publish. So if I take this no weeks off idea and I say, okay, at the bare minimum, we want to publish twice a week, every Tuesday, every Thursday. Our kind of like rule of thumb is any sermon you can pull two sermon clips from. And we work with about 150 churches every single week. You get beyond two, and depending on the preacher, you can sometimes be stretching it. But really, all types of sermon lengths and theological, you know, bents, whatever it might be, two is pretty universally possible. If we want to publish every Tuesday and Thursday, let's say that's what we want to commit to. But then one week, you know, someone gets pulled onto another project, or we don't like offload the sermon as fast as we want. And now it's like Friday and we have our two clips ready, and then we try to get them all out before next Sunday. There's no reason for that. If anything, what happens is we end up disrupting this content calendar, which is the most important thing. So we always say with churches, hey, publish a week after. And that way you always have that extra space. So if something goes awry and you take a little bit longer, no issues. And now you have kind of that full control over the content calendar, because the truth is when you have a post that does reach well, people will be seeing it like weeks after it was published anyway. And even your followers don't see every single thing that you publish. So if the idea is, well, if someone sees that, they'll be like, wasn't that the sermon from last week? It is very, very unlikely that someone will be able to pick that up. And even if they do, they're probably so, so integrated into the church that it's not going to disrupt them in any way.
So you had this pastor that he said, finally, after 3 years, it happened, right? So I assume he he was following that prescription. And then you said you keep your social, what'd you call it, social calendar each week. And it's two a week or one a week, or it's just post something. Doesn't have to be from the sermon. Is that what happened with this guy? We spent 2 years and then finally happened for him.
Well, the great thing about social is that no effort is ever wasted. You know, we're kind of coming out of the Easter season when we record this. If I leave a mailer at my neighbor's door and they don't come to church, like the congregation doesn't benefit from that in any way, right? But if I publish a repackaged sermon and nobody beyond our church circle sees that, well, it's still encouraging the saints in the 167 hours beyond Sunday every single week. And so what that means is it can reach out and introduce your church to new audiences, and it can also nurture the existing relationships that you have. And so that's what's so great. The person that recognized this pastor as the barista, we call those crossover events, when you can like clearly point to say, hey, our online efforts translated to in-person. That's kind of like the very top of what we call the social ministry mountain, where you're kind of like stacking effort and strategy over time. And that's kind of like the pinnacle. And so that can sometimes take a little bit of time to build up to. You know, we had another church we were working with, and they came to me and they said, we just want people to know that our church exists. Like, we're in this area. And I still, like, people will be like, oh, there's a church there? I just thought that was the big red building or whatever. And so this pastor's like, okay, we're going to start repurposing social content. They had an Instagram account. They had a Facebook account. And they said, like, should we have a TikTok account? This was like 18 months ago. And I said, look, we can never predict which platform is going to distribute your sermon to the people that matter at the right time. There's nothing going to hurt if you don't have a moral issue. Let's open the TikTok account. We'll see what happens. And within 30 days, this pastor had run into someone at the grocery store, and they said, are you a pastor? Like, my wife and I are new to this area. We're going to be coming and checking your church out. And then it happened at their work too, because this was a bivocational pastor. And so he had this one guy who he worked with infrequently. They said, wait, are you a preacher? Like, I saw you on my Facebook feed. TikTok feed. Both came from TikTok. So the great thing though is like, those are aspirational and they will come with time, those crossover events. In the meantime, no effort is wasted, because the wisdom of scripture is being heard by people that know Jesus. And we want to encourage them with the promises of God as well.
So I want to talk to you about Nucleus Church. But before we do that, since Steve is on this path of five social media myths, which I think is a great idea. First of all, Steve, get closer to your microphone.
All right.
And number two, let's move on very quickly about these social media myths, because I did tease it at the beginning of the podcast. So let's just quickly move on there and let's see if we can stump Brady on those. And then I do want to talk about Nucleus Church.
Well, I think we already hit on the one about the pastor that felt uncomfortable being like the social media celebrity. And we talked about the principle of congruency and how, like, if it's happening in person, there's no reason it shouldn't happen online. So we can cross that one off the list. The other one has to do with like just better design and churches feeling like, hey, our audio quality is insufficient, or more commonly, our video quality is insufficient. Like, we don't make like the best design. And because most of what we see on social today is from accounts that we don't follow, what we've all kind of like developed is this skeptical filter, where when we see something come across our feed, We're very unlikely to just accept it as it is, because we're like, okay, what are they selling me? Go to the comments. What do people have to say about this? You know? And so what type of content is more likely to bypass that filter right away? What we have seen again and again is like things that happened live first that then are being shown on social. So for example, a sermon where people can immediately intuit as they review it, oh yeah, like this is not for social. This was a person preaching to a room of real people. The skepticism filter is almost never applied in that case, so long as you don't dress it up a ton. And this is where churches tend to make a big mistake. They'll take like their sermon and they'll take it and they won't just go full screen with it with like white captions. They'll be like, oh, we'll put a fun decorative trim around it, or we'll crop it into this nice frame. We'll add our sermon series design. The more you dress things up, the more you create distance between you and your audience. And invariably that translates to less effectiveness. And then there's also just kind of like the principle of proximity. If you've ever been to a service in person where they have IMAG, what happens when you're watching like this, the pastor on screen? Usually, for most of the time, they're using a tighter camera angle, because if they did full body, you wouldn't feel like up and close and personal with that pastor. The reason IMAG exists in that auditorium or sanctuary is probably because it's pretty big. And so they have a tighter shot, so you feel closer to that pastor. Okay, so if we're going to take that same principle and apply it to our phones, if you like shrink down your pastor and put them like in a square on that full vertical canvas of your phone, you're creating more distance. And that like physical distance actually translates to less likelihood to engage with the message. So like churches get really hung up on like beautiful design and beautiful. It's like, look, as long as your audio, people can hear it, like, don't worry about it. Publish it, go full screen, add some white captions, The most important thing is working on the hook. And the hook is basically the promise in the first 3 seconds of the video. This is where you can make or break a social clip. So if you're, and I'll make this quick, you're reviewing a sermon that your pastor preached and you notice, okay, at one point he's talking about like parenting. She's talking about parenting. Oh, okay. Like, and you pull out like a 60 to 90 second clip and you edit it up, you know, you remove some of the ums and the ahs, keep that cadence nice and quick. And then at the hook, you repurpose it and you write at the beginning, you know, two words you should never say to your kids. Okay, now that's something I'm likely to pause and review. And it doesn't matter if I have a faith background. It doesn't matter if I know Jesus. That is broadly applicable. And this gets to one of the other social media myths. Churches fear, we're not fear. They'll often say to me, like, just so you know, we're not trying to go viral, Brady. That's not our goal. And when I say to them, as like, that's a noble intention. But here is the paradoxical truth. The way to reach local is to reach viral. And I'll just kind of run them through like a quick math equation. And I'll say, listen, imagine you reach 200 people with your sermon reel. And we say 50% of them are local. Wow. That means you've reached 100 people. Now imagine you reach 100,000 people with a reel and only 2% of them are local. That's 2,000 people. That's 20 times more people reach locally, even though the percentage was 25 times less. So the more you reach broadly, kind of strangely, the more you end up reaching locally. And so what we say to churches is that means when you package up a sermon, when you write that hook, you want it to be as broadly applicable as possible. Don't use insider language. Don't make it something that's like really churchy or strange or obscure, or at least not most of the time. So something like two words a parent should never say. Look, everyone is either a parent or has been parented. So that is something that's universally applicable. And the great thing about scripture is we don't have to like stretch this. We know the wisdom of scripture talks about parenting and relationships and purpose and community and destiny and eternity, things that every single human on earth has interest in. And so this isn't like we're taking the scriptures and we're twisting them so that we're making them palatable for people. No, like it's already in there. And we see it even with the messages of Jesus, how he took parables. Like, hey, we're going to talk about like big, big ideas. Here's a parable that is accessible to everybody. Instead of just talking about like, you know, betrayal and forgiveness, we're going to talk about the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. Okay, that makes sense. This is accessible for everyone. So we're kind of taking that same approach. I know that was a lot, but I think now we've covered most, if not all of the...
I think that's good. No, I think it's excellent. All right. Tell me a little bit about Nucleus Church. What is Nucleus Church?
Yeah, nucleus.church is the URL. We started this 7 years ago. So this is our church website builder. So it's software. It's kind of like the biggest product that our company runs. I talked about, you know, how we started with our humble beginnings of just a YouTube channel and how we've kind of kept that content creation throughout the duration of the company's existence. But in 2017, we launched software. So I guess we celebrated 8 years in April. So 8 years old now. We host about, you know, 3,000 church websites around the world. And, you know, one of the cool campaigns or projects that we announced last year was free church website makeovers. And so I think we've completed, you know, roughly 500 so far. Our goal was to complete 1,000 by the end of 2025. So it was a pretty ambitious project. You know, anyone that's listening or watching this, you can go to nucleus.church. There's a big button at the top of the site, free makeovers, claim yours there. Basically, we send photographers to churches in person, free of charge. Mm-hmm. We capture all the photography for a church on a weekend service, and then we build a new church website for them from scratch. Our belief is that the most important thing you can do with your website is show off visually what makes your church special and unique. And what is that? Your people. You know, we know that the body of Christ is the people. And today, still, a lot of church websites will land on, and it's a lot of text. Maybe it's a lot of colors. It's a lot of things. But I don't get any type of feel for, like, what is this church actually like if I visited? And what's cool about visuals like photography is that they can communicate in an instant what would take paragraphs worth of text. And so all of our website designs have these big photo containers. Churches sometimes struggle with photography, which is why, hey, let us cover the cost. We built this entire church photographer network where we have hundreds of them around the world. And so we'll basically say, okay, here's where your church is. Here's where, you know, our trusted photographers are, and we'll send them to your church. We'll pay them, and then we'll build your site, jump on a call and say, hey, here's your brand new website. You know, that if we're kind of old school reference now, extreme home makeover, like move that bus. Here's your brand new church website. And then, you know, we give them 30 days of free hosting. The only cost once you get the website is just to pay for, you know, hosting to keep the site live. But we do kind of all the build. We always say that church websites have two costs, kind of like cars. There's the purchasing of the car, and then there's the putting in the gas. So we'll cover the purchase of the car, which is like the big upfront fee and time investment of building the entire site. And then all you have to do is, you know, pay for the gas to keep it running.
So it's a free makeover? Is that right? A free makeover for the church, you said?
100% free. Again, like the only cost once the 30 days of free hosting is expired is just paying for the hosting each month. So, you know, it stays alive on the server.
Wow. Okay. Sorry, Phil, I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. I mean, we, you know, at streamingchurch.tv, we know what a bad website looks like. We've had customers over the years, you know, still do, that, you know, you go to their website and it's like, you know, there's text everywhere. And then, you know, one of our big deals is, you know, if you're doing streaming video, make sure people can see that link and, you know, that we have to search for the link and try to find it. So we can certainly relate to that. I think that's a great thing. Brady, I mean, did you just wake up one morning and say, we just need to do this, nucleus.church, or how did that all happen?
Yeah. So the idea, I guess, came about 18 months ago now. And my business partners and I were just discussing like the challenges of bringing people into our product. And the really cool thing, and this is kind of like inside baseball about a website product, is that once churches host your website, their website on your platform, like they don't leave that often, because there's like, it's not easy to leave and build a new site. And that's kind of just baked into the, like, you know, the DNA of what that service is. The inverse is true. It's really hard to like leave an existing platform and join yours. And so we would have churches that come to us and be like, look, we want to join Nucleus. We don't like our website. But we don't have time like to just redo the whole thing. Like we have other responsibilities. It's not even a, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Like it's broke, but like we have a lot of things broke and we have to prioritize other things. So we said like, okay, how do we make this easy for churches? So we had this service originally where we would build your website and we'd be like, send us your photos. And then we get these photos and we're like, man, if our entire like belief is that we have to build your website around big photo containers, if the photos are ugly, the website is invariably ugly and there's nothing we can do about it. So we had this like big idea, like what if we sent photographers to churches? And when we looked at our own skills, we're like, well, you would need a giant existing database of church creatives that are willing to work with you. And I was like, we already have that. We've been building an audience for 15 years. So we just like put out these applications on Instagram, on YouTube, on our email list and said, hey, want to get paid to take photos at church? Like, join our photography network. And so we had hundreds and hundreds of people join. And then that allowed us to like send photographers to churches in person. And that was kind of like the big thing. Like it's not hard to like build a new site for a church, but if there's no photos, it's not really a site we think that like is kind of hitting the marks. And if the photos are ugly, well, it's still not hitting the marks. And so the breakthrough for us was sending the photographers to churches in person. And that's kind of what allowed the whole campaign to exist.
That's awesome.
Do the churches need to sign a contract with you? Or do you have churches where you do the makeover, you move the bus and they go, I'm not doing this?
Yeah. I'd say about 10% of churches probably do that. And really? That was kind of like calculated into like the cost of us doing this, you know, because in terms of like, if you're listening to this, it sounds too good to be true. Like you can't really be covering all the costs. We are, but the reality is most people that join Nucleus stay for 10 years. We've only been around for 8 years, but like if you run the projections, like the lifetime value of a church that is on the platform is roughly 10 years. So that means that like, it's a loss for us in year one, but then it's a slight gain in year two. And then onward, it's just like a regular paying customer. And so we could run ads and pay Facebook and say like, join Nucleus, or we could go direct to the churches because they follow us and say, we'd love to do this for you. So it's a similar cost of like running ads and marketing. Instead, the cost is paying photographers and paying the people that work at Nucleus and the contractors that we work with. And so instead of paying Meta, we get to pay people that serve in church, usually as their side hustle or as like, you know, their second job, or the people that work for us full time, of course.
Do you pre-screen the churches at all, or just anybody that calls says, and I want to do it, they're eligible? Or
we accept every application. And then in the application, we do ask a number of questions. And then we would have a person on our team, one of our full-time like customer success folks that works in our office, like they would just like do like a brief check to make sure like, is there a photographer in the area? If not, what are our alternatives? So sometimes like I'll have to post on Instagram, like, hey, we need a church photographer in this area because we don't have somebody. And then it's pretty rare that we would turn away a church. The specific contexts are like, we say we don't do multi-campus builds, usually because like they're just a lot more complex. And so they would kind of fall outside the scope of what we do. And then that also just aligns with kind of our mission. Like if you're a multi-campus church, like I would say to you, go spend $10,000 and do a brilliant site with like a custom builder. For most churches, the average church being roughly 100 people, like they're just like, I can't afford that. So we're like, yeah, you're a perfect fit. I grew up in small church. I'm Canadian. Like I go to like one of the larger Canadian churches now, but my entire life experience and all of my friends' experience is like small church Canada. And so we have a heart for like when I say small church, I should say the median sized church, like the everyday church. And so sometimes like a really big church will say, hey, you're probably not the best fit for this, but it's very rare we turn people away. More likely is like, hey, they get to the end and we're like, we're going to keep these photos and see ya. And like I said, it happens like 5 to 10% of the time. So no hard feelings. Like, we understand what we're getting ourselves into when we give stuff away. Sometimes churches will say, thank you very much.
So that was I wanted to clarify that. So there are people that say, no, we don't like what you did. Adios,
it's less
amigos.
That. It's usually like we get to the end and they're like, we actually can't afford the monthly hosting. And I was like, well, you did clear the 7 disclaimers where I say like, check yes if you understand what you're getting yourself into. But we don't have contracts. Okay. And like, we're not the type of like company that's like going to, it's just, it's not worth it. Like all these things work out. You just have to let live sort of.
So we're out of time here. This has been good. I've been talking with Brady Shear from Pro Church Tools and Nucleus Church. Brady, this has been wonderful. We sure appreciate your time here today.
Hey, thanks for the invite. Great to talk with both of you.
And people can reach you all over the place. I mean, just at Brady Shear. Tell us, is that good enough for people to reach out and find you? I mean, you're on every social media platform in the universe, right?
Yeah, basically whatever platform you like most, I'm there. So Instagram, okay. We have 2 YouTube channels, one for our podcast and one for me. So if you're a podcast listener, you can find our show, The Pro Church Tools Show, anywhere, or just search my name. And if you want to make over for your church for free, nucleus.church, just click the big old free makeovers button.
Yeah. All right. That's awesome. Well, that's wonderful. We sure appreciate what you're doing. And as I said, we're out of time here, but folks, again, if you want to reach out to Brady, please do that. I would encourage you to do that. And if you want to reach out to us, you can always just go to streamingchurch.tv. So we are done here. Thank you, Brady. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Michael Gray, behind the scenes. And please take care of yourself and each other. And we will catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.
All right. Hey, I got to say, I appreciate